Joining us right now, one of the legends of the National Football League. He is the chief architect of the Dallas Cowboys' great teams of the 1970s, the America's teams. He writes for NFL.com. He is a broadcaster with SiriusXM NFL Radio. Just you name it, you want to know it about the NFL, Gil Brandt is there to deliver it. And Gil, I know we've had you on before. Welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks, Vic. It's always a pleasure to be on with you, and I really admire the great job that you do informing the Browns fans all that is possible for them to know about the great Browns organization.
Well, thank you very much. And one of the big stories, of course, the big story that we're dealing with right now and we want to get your national perspective on is the Browns hiring of Rob Chudzinski as their head coach. Gil, I know this is someone you have a great deal of regard for.
Well, first of all, make it easy on yourself. Refer to him as Coach Chug.
Yeah.
But let me say this, Vic, before I answer your question. After his hiring was announced, I called Joe Banner, and I said, you ought to be put in jail for stealing. And basically what I meant is that I think he stole a pretty good football coach that's going to have a really good future with the Browns and their organization. But yes, I've known Chudzinski ever since he was a player at Miami of Florida. You know, I think one of the great things is he's from Toledo, Ohio, and you know, for all intent and purposes, he knows Cleveland. He knows the kind of people that are associated with the city of Cleveland. But more so than anything, he is really a fine football coach. Knows the game. Is very upward, and by that I mean, he doesn't rest on what they did yesterday. He's always has some new ideas. And I think all you have to do is look and see what he did with Newton at Carolina. And I think that'll answer the questions that you may have about him.
Well, Gil, about 4 years ago, you wrote a column for NFL.com identifying, and I know you identified other people through that time who you felt should get consideration for a head coaching job. You really zeroed in on him and on his offensive prowess. What are some of the things, the qualities that stood out to you then and stand out to you now?
Well, I like him, A, because he's very smart. He did extremely well on the Wunderlich test when he was a player at the University of Miami in Florida. You know, I think what you look for in people is how they interact with people as far as a head coaching job is concerned, because I think more so than being an X and O person, you have to be a people person, because really you got 53 people on that football team that you have to really take care of, so to speak, every day. But I think that from all facets of what you need to be a successful head coach, he's right up at the top of the list.
And it's interesting, Gil. People want to get so caught up with name recognition and big splash stories and such, and they want, and you know, they're clamoring, they're saying, okay, go after John Gruden, go get Bill Cowher, finish the deal with Chip Kelly, those names, Nick Saban. But the truth of it is, you can find an outstanding coach, and you never know what you get even with the bigger name, right, when they get here. So you can find an outstanding guy in someone whose name isn't as recognizable as Chud's is.
Well, let me just take you back in history. There was a fellow by the name of Lombardi that did a pretty good job at Green Bay, and actually he was the third choice of Green Bay. Their first choice was Evashevsky, Forrest Evashevsky, who at the time was a head coach at the University of Iowa, and he turned him down, and they had to settle for their third choice, Lombardi, and I think it worked out pretty well. But I think this, that I think they got the right person, starting with the owner. I think the owner is great. I think Joe Banner is very, very good. And I think one of the things that makes a head coach successful is to have somebody like Banner in the organization that can lead him along. Because as a first-time head coach, there's a lot of things on your plate that you didn't realize and you didn't prepare for. But I think that the fans of the Cleveland Browns will be very happy with Coach Chug.
So, somehow I can't picture the commissioner handing the Evashevsky trophy to, to the winning Super Bowl team. He is Gil Brandt joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford from NFL.com, SiriusXM NFL Radio. Gil, the weekend playoff games that we just saw, this divisional round, set a record for most points scored in the history of that round. Very telling about this league, and I want to tie it into what the Browns just did in hiring this offensive-minded guy who got a lot of production out of Cam Newton, got a lot of production out of Derek Anderson when he was here in 2007 as the Browns offensive coordinator. I mean, you've got to have offense if you're going to win in this league anymore. It's not about defense winning championships.
Well, Vic, you got a good memory because if I remember correctly, what happened with Anderson, they had them in the playoffs until they had to go down to play at Cincinnati, and I think there was four or five interceptions in the game. But let me just tell you about scoring last weekend. If you go back to the 1970 merger, teams that scored 28 points in divisional playoff games would have gone 159 wins and 7 losses against the losers. This past week, it was 0-2-2. So I think what you see is that offense is very important. Of the first three coaches that have been hired, they're offensive coaches. I think Chudzinski is a very fine offensive coach. I hope you get the idea here. What I'm saying is that I think by the time we hire the eight coaches, I think probably six or seven are going to be offensive coaches. So obviously we think that it's important to have somebody that's got a good offensive mind. And by the numbers I just quoted you, I think you can see it's very, very, very hard to stop anybody. The average score of the four games last weekend for the winner was 38.5 to 30.5 for the loser. Back in the days when I was with the Cowboys, if we scored 20 points, we felt really certain that we could win the game. 20 points doesn't get you very far anymore.
Did the games kind of go as you expected? It's three of the same four finalists of a year ago back at it. Atlanta, the only new team from last year.
Well, Vic, I actually picked Seattle to win the game, and, you know, they had it won. My question is, did Seattle let them – I mean, did Atlanta let them score at the end so they could get the ball back? You know, one of those where you let them run through and score and then hope you can get the ball back and win. Other than that, the big surprise to me was Denver. Right. I thought Denver was an easy win, and it would be a Denver and a Patriot final, but it wasn't. So, yeah, they went kind of as I expected, and I'll say this. I think that as far as two of the games that were played, I don't know how you can ask for anything more. And if you take the first half of the 49er game against the Packers, it was great. And, you know, that until the fourth quarter, the New England game was had you sitting on the edge of your chair.
New England suffers a big blow with the loss of Rob Gronkowski at tight end. Is that going to be just enough to give the Ravens a chance at Foxborough next weekend in the championship game?
Well, you know, it's amazing the job that Bill Belichick does. And he just keeps winning and plugging guys in there and so forth. You know, last week, or yesterday, I should say, Woodhead went down on the first play of the game, and he plugs another guy in there, another running back, and he scores three touchdowns. So, when you lose a all-pro, probably one of the best at his position players like that, it is tough, especially what they do. Somehow, some way, Bill Belichick will compensate for it.
And that NFC Championship game, the Falcons, you know, you look at the job they did. As you said, I tend to agree with you. That might have been the case against Seattle. But you look at the Falcons and the 49ers and Colin Kaepernick, what an exciting, dynamic quarterback he is. How do you see that game shaping up?
You know, for a little side note, Kaepernick grew up in Wisconsin, in New London, Wisconsin. And one of the pass, punt, and kick contest winners came from that town, and he was a Green Bay fan growing up. So, you know, he beat the team that he grew up as a fan of. Kaepernick has been a big surprise to me. You know, I thought he was going to be good. And I think that's one of the things that he played at Nevada, Reno, and it was a five-year player. He's an excellent athlete, a baseball pitcher. He overcame an interception for a touchdown on his first series, and I think that tells you everything about the player you have to know.
Really does. Gil, thank you so much for your time, and we look forward to talking with you down the line.
Thanks, Vic.
He is Gil Brandt joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.